Blog Talk Radio.
Who said that a healthcare event can't look like an outdoor festival filled with happy, smiling faces? That's what the Allied Health Ministry plans to create when it kicks off its Health and Wellness Expo on Saturday, September 27th at Bethel AME in Boston. Organizers Karen Burns-White, along with Jackie Maloney, will walk us through the fun-filled expo they're planning that's open to the general public next weekend. Fitness classes, health screenings, and live cooking demonstrations are just a taste of what's in store for those who attend. It's free. It's a free event designed for the improvement of health care for all. Later, we'll share our thoughts on the latest wave of bad boy athletes, from Ray Rice to Adrian Peterson, whose track record on violence against women and children need careful examination. Hi, this is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hi, my friends. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to us. It is moving along pretty quickly in September. I don't know about you, but it seems like there's so much going on in the month of September. But we wanted to pay attention to a pretty nifty event that's taking place next Saturday, a week from Saturday, that I have two great guests that I'm going to bring on the air, because even if you don't live in Boston, wherever you happen to live in the world, this is something that you may want to recreate within your own organization, community group, faith-based organization, just because it's a real nice, nifty combination of healthcare, education, and bringing people together as a community. In the next couple of months, a very short, maybe 6-plus weeks away, or less, we are having the 8th Multicultural Conference that will be held on the campus of UMass Boston, co-hosted by my organization, the Multicultural Symposium Series, and UMass Boston. I am so excited because we're bringing in from Liverpool, England, a terrific diversity professional and attorney, Garth Dallas. He's also the publisher of Diverse Magazine in England and very closely connected to the city of Liverpool. He's going to come and really talk about the global implications of diversity from his perspective in the UK, overlooking many of the activities that are taking place in Europe. So this is going to be a very dynamic conference. We also have other sponsors lined up, wonderful, wonderful sponsors and keynote speakers who will also be a part of the conference. State Street Corporation is the lead sponsor on the Multicultural Symposium Series, and I think this is something you'll really want to be a part of. You can go to my website, mssconnect.com, that's mssconnect.com, and find out all the information about the upcoming 8th Multicultural Conference. It's just exciting beyond belief. We have so many good things that are lined up with the Multicultural Symposium Series, the conference, webinars, and a dynamic Black History Breakfast that we are already planning, and it's shaping up really, really nicely for February in 2015. So lots of things. You can go to mssconnect.com and find out more about it. So we're going to talk to our guests who have joined us just to talk about this terrific new Health and Wellness Expo that will be taking place on Saturday, September 27th in Boston. If you are anywhere in the greater Boston area, you will want to be a part of it. Karen Burns-White and Jackie Maloney, my friends for a long, long time, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you so very much.
Glad that both of you are with us. Karen, I wanted to ask you, we were talking before the show started, an interesting survey was conducted, and the result of the survey is this Community Health and Wellness Expo. Tell us about the survey and what led you and your committee to start this wonderful upcoming event.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Carol, for allowing me to join you this afternoon. So the survey was, in fact, a brainchild of the Allied Health Ministry at Bethel AME Church. And we thought that before we could engage in the process of planning and programming across the church and beyond, that we really needed to get a sense of what was on the minds of our congregants. What were the health needs that they were either needing more information about or even struggling with? And so we set out the Allied Health Ministry to conduct the survey during the months of December and then also mid-January. And it was a survey that had, in fact, been established some time ago. It had been revised to really look at some of the top health concerns, not only locally, but also across the state as well, and really trying to pinpoint
I'm sorry. Karen, I hit the wrong button. Start us again in terms of you were looking at the survey and take us from that point on.
Sure. So the goal of the survey was, in fact, to get a sense of what was happening across the different, not only individuals, but we wanted to hear from our youth. We wanted to hear from our men congregants, as well as the sisters within the congregation. We really wanted to be able to capture what was on the minds of our people with regards to health and wellness. And so the survey did just that. It allowed us to really survey our congregation, get a pulse of the priority areas, and set forth a plan to address many of those priority areas as indicated on this survey.
What actually was, let's say, the number one tickler that kept coming up with the survey that you conducted?
Well, you know, it was interesting, Carol, because it was between health and wellness in terms of really trying to get a pulse on nutrition issues, really trying to get a pulse on individuals who needed diabetes management. But one of the areas that really shocked me was the area of stress management. And
stress management,
not only as it pertained to we know what stress is, but what are the techniques for reducing stress? The other piece that, again, was a little bit of, not a little bit, but really of interest was we had a fairly decent response rate by not only women, but by men also.
Oh,
and
that's good.
For men, the stress area was also of great concern. So we as women think we're carrying around a whole lot of stress.
Right.
Men are doing the same thing.
Interesting. So as a result of that, looking at the survey, figuring out what key issues were being repeated with the congregants, then this event took place. It's called the Move Well, Eat Well, Be Well Community Health and Wellness Expo, and it is a free event. So walk us through the day and what can people expect between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m.?
So we are really excited because, as you've indicated, we are really treating this not as a health fair but an expo, and we're calling it an expo because we have a variety of different offerings for all age groups, for all ages. You can engage in physical activity, whether it's through liturgical dance or you might be interested in kickboxing. You might come with your family members where you might want to do a family-driven obstacle course, a family field day we have planned. Or you might be someone who, just goodness, you've been having some questions around your medication. And so we will have a booth that is sponsored by Walgreens that's called Ask the Pharmacist. And we will have pharmacists on hand that will be available to engage and answer questions related to medication. Maybe you missed a few months back when CPR training was offered through our Emergency Preparedness Committee at Bethel.
Right.
We will have CPR training sponsored by the American Heart Association as well. And I know many of us are looking to how are we going to continue to age gracefully. And so we have individuals from a program called Enact over at Boston University who's going to talk to us about aging gracefully and moving and staying active.
Oh, wow. Now, that one I would love to be a part of. If I were going to be in town, I would definitely be at that workshop. That's terrific. I want to bring in Jackie Maloney because she has a real focus on the environment and green issues, and that is now also tying in with the upcoming Health and Wellness Expo. Jackie, tell us about the focal point of green issues and the environment.
Well, you know, it's been a real pleasure working with Karen on the Allied Health Ministry for a couple of years. But I have a company called Seeds of Hope, Stewardship for Sustainability. And it evolved because, you know, doing Bible study, I realized that we were asked to take dominion over the earth. So I had been looking at earth issues from a legal perspective. But then my doctor kept saying to me, well, how are you feeling? How are you dealing with all the things that are coming up? And I said, when I am really stressed, I go to the water. I go to Wollaston Beach. I go to Rock Point. I go out. I go out to the water. I watch the tide go out. I watch it come back in. And by the time I've finished, I'm feeling better. And so I started looking up the whole discussion about how to de-stress. And much of the research about de-stressing has a lot to do with, are there trees around you? There are studies that say if you live in communities with less trees, you're going to have higher levels of stress and distress. So then I started talking to my colleagues about how do you articulate what we need to do with nature and what we need to do for our mental health, for our levels of stress, for our exercise. So I worked with Billy Avery and looked at a program called Walking for Wellness. Where do you walk? Are you walking in Franklin Park? Are you walking where there's trees? Are you walking where the air is better? So some of what we're doing with Karen is looking at exercise. Where do you exercise? Where do you walk? Do you have a group that you're doing it? Do you do it individually? And are you doing it as a family? How do you get away from the television and the little things that, you know, make everybody's thumbs start to go? How do you leave all of those things behind and get out into the forest? We have forests and parks and mountains. You know, are you doing this with your kids? Are you creating memories about, I remember when I went up to the mountain with my mom. I remember when I went to the forest with the church. And I learned from one of the members in my church that we as Americans own these forests. We can just go out. Yeah,
so
go ahead.
It sounds like a great connection and a tie-in when Karen is talking about the survey and the level of stress that was addressed with the participants of the survey and how that's sort of been rolled in with the event that's taking place next weekend. Then you're talking about the whole environment piece and how you can live a healthier life and exercise and do it with nature present. That totally makes sense to me. It really does.
Then you reduce, reuse, recycle, and you impact climate change. And how does climate change, you know, impact your health and well-being? And most importantly, eating plants, not genetically modified foods, but, you know, having small gardens, you know, making sure you eat local foods. All of those things is lend to a holistic approach about your health and well-being.
Great.
And your community.
Well, that's going to set the stage. I'm excited just hearing about the ways that people can use the information and use the activities going forward to really make this a great, great Saturday. Karen, I wanted to ask you about food. Speaking of food and staying healthy, you have some healthy food tastings, do-it-yourself pizza. That sounds good. Smoothie success and simple salad recipes. Walk us through that. And I've been in one of your sessions where you brought in a chef and taught us how to make some wonderful stir-fried dishes. So that I'm really salivating when I'm thinking about that. Talk to us about the food piece.
So, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to work with our working group, our nutrition working group that's led by our sisters Rosaline and sister Latrice Landry. And these individuals have a passion for nutrition. They have a passion about doing it the right way, but also doing it so that it's economical, so that it's not always thinking that you have to buy organic or that you have to go to Whole Foods. And so they're going to bring forth these very simple, easy recipes, do them right in front of you so that you can see how it's done, and then also give you a chance to taste what you have pulled together. And so we're looking at this particular component of the health fair to be a family affair, that, you know, this can be done by children, it can be done by men, it can be done by women. And so, again, this is going to be one of the components that we want everybody to join in on, both seeing, experience the doing of it, but also taste testing as well.
Oh, very exciting. The health screenings, a variety of health-related presentations that we've just discussed, fitness demonstrations, Zumba. I know you, Karen, very slim Karen, where you've just transformed yourself through the years, so you're a living and a walking example of being healthy. And just thinking about your mom and being a breast cancer survivor, I know that health is very meaningful, not only for you, Karen, but also for you, Jackie. And the healthy food tastings, and just a fun time. This is going to take place next Saturday at Bethel AME Church. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It's open to the general public. It is free. It will be on the campus of Bethel, and that's at 84 Wachusett Street, which also includes Walk Hill Avenue. So 84 Wachusett, which is at the intersection of Walk Hill Avenue in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. If you want more information, you can call the church office, 524-7900, extension 303, and Nancy Dickerson will be happy to answer any questions that you have. In closing, Karen, let me start with Jackie first. Jackie, any closing thoughts about next week's event?
I think what I want to see happen most is people see, especially the people who have chronic illnesses, that it is possible to be on the other side of your chronic illness. It is possible by starting with small bites, getting out and walking, eating more vegetables, eating more plants, you know, spending less money on things you don't need so that you can have a full and whole approach to health, not just physical, but mental and spiritual health. But it's possible to for you to be in control of that, not your doctor giving you a lecture or somebody like that. And there are just so many people who are willing to step up and say, I'll walk alongside you and we'll do this together. Because I'm as healthy as the least healthy in my community. So I want us all to be reaching for excellence, not perfection, but excellence in how we take care of ourselves and how we take care of our earth and how we take care of our community. And we're going to have a taste of this next week with lots of excitement. It's going to be a cool thing.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jackie. Karen, what about you?
Well, as we wrap up, we all know that knowledge is power, and that's what we're here to do on Saturday, September 27th, between 9 and 2, and that is to engage you with lots and lots of knowledge. And so come on out and join us.
Great. Karen Burns-White and Jackie Maloney, who are a part of this wonderful event that's taking place on Saturday, September 27th, Eat Well, Move Well, Be Well, the Community Health and Wellness Expo. It's a free event on the campus of Bethel AME Church in Boston in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood, 84 Wachusett, near Walk Hill. You can go there between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. next week. Fitness classes, health screenings, nutrition, the live cooking demonstrations are very exciting to me. And healthcare professionals and major corporations that are going to be on board to answer your questions. It's going to be delightful. Ladies, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and I know it's going to be a great success. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you so much, Carol, for the support. And Sharon, I don't know where she gets the energy because she's amazing.
Thank you.
Take care, ladies. Thank you all so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. Well, I hope that you'll be there. And the reason why I wanted to bring them on, again, this is a local event. We're here in Boston. You may be in California. You may be in England. You may be in Nairobi or Mombasa. But you can recreate the same kind of event in your local community. Here, a simple survey was targeted at the membership, and from that survey has come this event. You can take the same approach going forward. So we salute all those, the healthcare ministry, the Allied Health Ministry of Bethel AME Church in Boston, for this wonderful Community Health and Wellness Expo that will take place next Saturday. Hope that you will lift all these ideas and take them forward in your respective community so that we can together be healthier, be more conscious, be more focused in the work that we do. Thank you so much, ladies, for being a guest on my program. That's the fun part of this show. Now we switch gears and we talk about some of the tough issues that just won't go away. And I think what I'm going to do as I'm talking to you, let's see if I can do this. I'm going to bring up another screen and go to Twitter and just read some comments that are being generated from a hashtag that's called Why I Stayed. And you'll understand what I'm saying in just a few minutes once I bring that up. Here we go. I just found it. That's good. These are tweets that just continue to come forward. This is from Melissa, and Melissa says, his father died, he became an alcoholic, and said that God wouldn't want me to leave him because he needed me to make him better. Now, I'll read a couple of more, and I'll explain why I'm reading these. MSNBC is referencing Meredith Vieira. She's got a show on, apparently, on domestic violence. It's an issue in our lives that apparently were comments that were made from Meredith Vieira. Also, let's see, we have Glamour Magazine says, a domestic violence survivor asks for compassion for Janae Rice. And we'll talk to you about that in just a few minutes. And then someone else from Huffington Post says, my abuser isolated me from all my friends and family. And then another one I'll read says, this is Jackie Reed, and she says, I'm talking why women stay and how you can get help if you need it. And she's just responding to this topic that is causing worldwide attention. And let me see if I can pull up another person who just talks from her own experience. Some people are reacting to what happened. Donna Brazil says, and she's quoting someone, she says, I was pregnant and he hit me. This is regarding apparently an article that was written about this. And then there's an incredible piece by Robin Givens on why she stayed in an abusive relationship. And I know that's related to her marriage to Mike Tyson. So I would suggest that if you have an opportunity to go to Twitter, and you can pull up the hashtag Why I Stayed, and this is now being championed by a writer, Beverly Gooden. She's the actual one that started this hashtag. I read some last night, and they would just break your heart. It gives you the perspective of why women stay in abusive relationships when they certainly should leave. Now, I'm divorced. And there were times when it was pretty dicey in my relationship. So from that perspective, I understand the reasons why women stay. They stay for economic reasons, because when you leave your marriage, I know this from personal experience, you have to learn how to support yourself without the trappings of home and health care and food and utilities taken care of. You have to do that by yourself. I am a living witness. I know what that's all about. You also have to plan for your children. And in my case, 20-plus years ago, I had a daughter who was nearing college. She was getting ready to go to college. So we had to really think very seriously about my older daughter who was going to college shortly after my marriage broke up. And how was she going to be taken care of? How was her tuition going to be paid? So when you look at the laundry list of things that you have to consider when you are on your own, when you have first been taken care of by either your husband or your spouse or your significant other or the person that you love, and then the version of you being on the outside where you are taking care of yourself and your children and maybe aging parents on top of that, for some women, they stay. So I am the last person to pounce on, denigrate, and attack the victims. I'm the last person because I know what it's like on the outside. I've been on the outside for 20-some years, and I'm doing fine now. But I know for some women, especially high-income women, when you've had position, I was married to a pretty prominent minister, so I know what that's all about in terms of prominence and status. When you're married to someone who has status and income and all the trappings that you get used to, when you're in an abusive situation, it's difficult to leave that because you know things are going to change and they're going to be very different. So I say all that because when you look at Janae Rice, who did marry her boyfriend, who punched her out in the elevator, dragged her out, and we now have seen those awful video clips of that. And he played for the Baltimore Ravens, but now he's on suspension, and he'll make money for now, but the future of his career is in question based on what had taken place. And then Adrian Peterson, who decided to beat up his or whip pretty harshly his four-year-old child. He plays with the Minnesota Vikings, and they've gone back and forth with him. Now I believe he's on suspension. They were going to let him play, and there was a public outcry about that. The case that came up yesterday is Jonathan Dwyer, who plays with the Arizona Cardinals. He decided to throw things at his girlfriend and throw things at an 18-month-old child. That woman was smart enough to pack her bags and leave. So she's out of the picture, but this happened apparently in the summer, and then these tapes, not tapes, but this situation came up just a few days ago. So these are three cases with three NFL players. It is giving Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner, probably lots of headaches because he has to deal with these players and countless other players. Now, these three men happen to be African American, and they're young. That's the scary part. Jonathan Dwyer is 25, Adrian Peterson is 29, and Ray Rice is 27. These are not older people. These are younger men. So the question is, what lessons are they learning, and what lessons are being taught to them where it's okay to hit your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other, and it's okay to throw things and severely punish four-year-olds, 18-month-old, or whatever. This is a problem across the world. It is a problem when you look at that star in South Africa who killed his girlfriend, and the sentencing now will take place in October, Oscar Pretorius. That was South Africa. You can go to every country in the world, and there are some issues facing domestic violence and child abuse. We need to talk about it. It definitely needs to not be tolerated, and there needs to be a connection between taking away revenue from these perpetrators who do these awful things. That is the key. We're going to talk about this more and more in the weeks to come. Thank you so much for listening today to today's show. Hope you have a great week or weekend. Check out my website and learn more about the November 8th Multicultural Symposium Series. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and empowerment begins when you believe in yourself.